Hey, well, church, we on Mother's Day have a special treat for you today. We have a mom in the house who has been a mom for quite some time, 4 decades to be exact. And she's a mother that's pretty close to my heart. And this is the first time she's actually been here with me on stage. And we're going to do an interview, a conversation. And today I've brought my mom into the house, Sandy Welch. And so if you would, I'd love for you to join me in welcoming her as we have a Mother's Day, a special Mother's Day conversation.
Well, hello. I'm glad to be here today.
Okay, so, you know, the question that I'm going to begin with, you know, the most important of all is you've got 4 children. I'm the firstborn. I'm the oldest. Who's your favorite child?
I tell Ethan he is my number one son. That's true.
I interpret that in a lot of different ways. But let's start off, Mom. Thank you so much for joining us today. Just honor you and bless you for your leadership in my life, in our family, and then the impact that you're having in ways that you don't even see. But I honor you today and bless you. Help us get to know, help everyone get to know you a little bit today. Tell us a little bit about your childhood. Where'd you grow up? What was your family like? How'd you come to faith in Christ?
Well, before I go into all that, I just want to tell Ethan and Ashley how much I appreciate them. And I have 4 kids. I grew up in a family with 4 kids. I'm from the country. I know y'all can't tell that, but I really am. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad were super powerful Christians who set great examples for me. But when I was very young, my dad was an alcoholic. He was a veteran of World War II. And my mom tells the story of my dad not going to church with her, but her going faithfully, and my older sister Patricia going to the altar on Sunday mornings and praying for my dad to come to know Jesus. And the Lord brought him to Christ, and he was really transformed. He became an amazing witness for Christ. He was a great prayer warrior. I can remember getting off my bus in the afternoons, and we had a long dirt lane that went back to our house and 2 big tobacco barns way back behind my house. And I could hear my dad praying from the moment I got off the bus. And that is something that happened many, many times. And my dad died when I was in 9th grade. And my mom became a single mother to 4 kids, aged 4th grade to 11th grade. But I had a wonderful, wonderful childhood. Even with the challenges that we had, it was a great childhood. I loved it.
So growing up in that environment, how'd you come to faith in Christ? What was that process like?
Well, I grew up with godly parents, with a great Christian heritage, going to church all the time, learning Bible stories. But when I went to college, and all during my high school years, I knew that I was not a Christian. I knew that I had not trusted Christ. The church that we went to was very works-oriented. In other words, you need to get your life cleaned up, and then you can come to Christ and trust Him. And I knew that my life was not cleaned up. I went to college. I began to room with a great Christian girl. God's always at work. He's always at work. And she said, well, go to church with me and quit going home on the weekend. So I said, okay, I'll go to church with you. And God works. And I went to a great church in Florence, South Carolina, where I was going to college. And the gospel of Jesus Christ alone, His blood paying for all of my sins, the past, the present, and the future, became so clear. The Bible stories I had learned, but I did not understand. When you put Christ on the cross in the Bible stories, you understand. And a lady who was my college and career teacher, Audrey Stokes, had the courage to come to my house on a Thursday night and said, Sandy, do you know if you died, would you go to heaven? And I said, I know I would not. because I thought I had to get cleaned up and everything perfect before Christ would be willing to accept me. And she told me the gospel, and that Thursday night, on my knees in my apartment, I trusted Christ, and transformation takes place when that happens.
Amen. Amen. So I turned 40 years old last fall.
Oh, that hurts.
I am. So you now have 4 decades.
Wow.
Of motherhood behind you. But can you tell us a little bit about what's it been like? What's the journey of motherhood been like? Maybe in ways that it has been what you thought it would be, and then ways it hasn't been what you thought it would be.
Well, you know, Ethan gave me some advanced questions, and you're changing all the questions up here on me this morning.
Got to keep her on her toes.
That's difficult. This is before I became a mother. My husband, Mike, who's a pastor also, sitting on the front row here. I love him. He's been so instrumental in my Christian life. And I was a business person. That was my degree. I was not interested in kids. I didn't even like kids until I had kids. Then I loved them. I loved mine. I might not like yours, but I like mine. But I was really business-minded, and it really was a transformation for me to become a parent. When I got married, I said, I'm going to be the best wife that's ever hit the face of the earth. That didn't happen. When I became a mother, I said, I'm going to be the best mother hit the face of the earth. Well, when you think that, God says, you know nothing about parenting, my child. And I did not. And parenting has been the greatest life journey for me, because nobody can really teach you. You can read, you can study, but you don't know how to parent. And I think the greatest thing about parenting is that I had 4 kids. I didn't know what I was doing. God in his mercy supersedes in everything that we do. And I would not trade anything for my 4 kids. They are a treasure to me. They're my greatest legacy. They are my heart. And now I have 9 grandkids. So everything I screwed up with my kids, I get to try over and get right with my grandkids. Right, Harper? the greatest role, really, of the greatest thing about parenting is you don't know what you're doing, but God helps you and goes through it with you.
So for the mothers in the room that are like trying to figure it out, and what exactly am I supposed to be doing? what would you say is the role of motherhood if you had to boil it down?
Well, I think the first thing about motherhood is it's not about your kids. It's about you. You don't know what you're doing. I always say, God doesn't give you kids for you to grow them up. He gives you kids to grow you up, because we do not know what we're doing. We don't have the patience. We don't have the grace. We don't have the calm. We don't have the wisdom. And that's why you have to dig deep and you have to say, Jesus, this is about you. Because in my own strength, I cannot do this. How many days I have woken up and said, I do not know what I'm doing.
Right.
Lord, help me. And that's really what the secret is. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. I take full credit for Ethan, just so y'all know. I take full credit for all of his good stuff. Ashley, I don't take credit for the bad stuff. That's his dad.
There's no bad stuff. There's no.
Yeah. But you don't take credit. You do the best that you can. You really don't know what you're doing. But one thing I feel like I did do well is that I was determined that I was going to be a good parent. I studied, I read, I wrote down scriptures. I had whole pages of study, scriptures about parenting to say, this is what it needs to look like, Sandy. This is what you need to be. But I wrote a few things. You did ask me that question, Ethan, and Jesus first, no matter what. Kids aren't first. Y'all understand that? Kids don't run the house. God runs the house. Mom and dad execute what God says, and we teach the kids that we love Jesus. And what Jesus says, that's what we do. That's what we do. And I think one thing, too, that as parents we should be breathing belief into the life of our kids that God has something amazing planned for them to do. Your kids need to know. I said this to my kids all the time. When they were acting like little stinkers, I would say, God has great plans for you. You're gonna grow up and be, God has great plans for you. That's why we have to work on this. That's why we have to do this, because we're not gonna stay like this. Also, if you're a single mom, holy cow, I applaud you. My mom became a single mom of four kids. My daughter is a single mom of two girls. I appreciate my husband so much, because I don't know how I could have done it as a single mom. But if God has you there, you can do it. Yeah. You can do it, because God walks with you. It's not you anyway. Amen. So
one of the things we talked about, Mom, is a lot of things, you know, I feel like you got right. But then, you know, I think to demonstrate that, man, this is a process of an imperfect person God's using to become what he wants them to become. What are some things you feel like you got wrong?
Oh, Ethan, I hate terrible questions like that. Well, I do feel like I got some things right. I'm just going to name one. Fight for your kids. Don't give them up to anybody. They're your kids. You're going to fight for them to the death. We're not letting strangers come in and take our kids over. It's not happening. You fight for your kids. Be predictable. Your kids should know you're going to say no. One day, my son Seth, who is our youngest, told me, he said, Mom, and he was a teenager, he said, I'm going to ask you a question. I know you're going to say no. But I told my friends that I would ask you. I told them you would say no, but they said, well, ask your mom anyway. I said, well, I'll ask her, but she's going to say no. I said, well, go ahead and ask me. He said, rah, rah, rah. I said, no. He said, okay. Be predictable. Don't fight the same battle and over again. Stand your ground. If you can say yes, say yes. But if you need to say no, and don't change your mind. And don't be vacillating back and forth about all the things. But I did get some stuff wrong. I know, Ethan, as a parent, you're hoping you do everything right, but you don't. And my daughter, she and I deal with a lot of stuff together. She's helped me as much as to grow up after the fact. One thing I didn't do right is I wish I'd prayed more. I wish that I had been quiet more. I wish I'd not been as busy as I was. I really wish, one of my big regrets in my life is that I listened to the culture around me when my daughter had ADHD, and I was determined not to do any medication, not to do anything, bless God. We're going to sit down and work this out. There are times in your life as a parent, you have to quit listening to the culture. You've got to get before God to say, for us, what do we need to do? And that's one of my great regrets. And I wish I hadn't been so perfection-focused. Just relax. Have fun.
Take a breath.
Yes, take a breath. Yeah. Take three deep breaths.
How have the challenges of motherhood, what has motherhood taught you about God? How has motherhood pressed you into the presence of God greater? Maybe like we were talking about this morning, maybe a little bit of the transformation, you know, that's even happened later in life for you as a mother. But what's motherhood done to press you into the presence of God?
Well, like I said, God uses it to grow us up. Parenting is about growing the parents up. And when the parents grow up, they're really good parents. Mm. The kids somehow benefit from us growing up. So grow up. And I did so many things. I was not a calm, gentle person. I know y'all don't believe all of this when I say this, but I was not a calm, gentle person in control while my kids were young. I yelled too much. I was too frenetic, and my kids were all grown and out of the house when I realized in my business that I was in a bad place. I got to a point in my business where I won an amazing award and recognition in my business that I was in. And I began to think, this, you didn't do this. The people on your team did this. You had nothing to do with this. It was an accident. And I began to lose my confidence. And in my personality, my confidence is my strength. The confidence of the Lord, but it's our own confidence too. You can't be fearful-minded and really do all you want to do. And God helped me find a life coach who was a Christian. And I began to develop listening to myself. I really was just not self-aware about how I was stayed in overwhelm all the time. I don't have enough time to do this. And it makes you anxious, and it makes you loud, and it makes you rude, and it just affects so many things. And I began to realize that what I needed in my life was calm, God's peace. I felt like it was boring, like peace, calm. That's like boring stuff. We don't want any of that. Well, obviously, that's what I had been thinking. But it began a process of me breathing, of taking time, capturing the thought, realizing it was a bad thought, capturing it, and getting to a place of calm. And that began to be a lifestyle for me. And that's been happening in my life for probably the last 10 or 15 years. And Ethan, with his little smart self, told me one day, I was telling him my story, and he said, Mom, it sounds like you just aren't very self-aware. It's like, well, I could have saved all that money. I could have just come to you, and you could have told me that then, right?
When did I say that? Was that...
That was a long time
ago. Okay. Got it.
Not when he was a kid, that wouldn't have worked, but as an adult. But it really was true. I wasn't very self-aware. And my daughter... we had a big family event at my house, and the reason Ethan and I were talking about this is sometimes we feel like we're a parent. We didn't do a really good job, or we failed in so many ways. But God, growth is never finished for the Christian. I have a new chance now to help and love on my grandkids in a better way, even than I knew what to do with my kids. And we had a family gathering at my house, and I have a rule in my house. Harper, you know what it is. Mimi has one rule. No yelling in the house. I told Ethan, I said, man, if I'd have had that rule a long time ago, Mama would have quit yelling and y'all would have too. But I had just began to be calm and not so anxious and rushed and overwhelmed all the time. And when my son Seth, who was the youngest of the kids, he was the last one to leave. And he told me, he said, Mom, Mary Elizabeth, who was the second of the four kids, single mom with two kids, he said, Mary's just so calm and she's doing such a good job with the girls, isn't she? I said, she is, Seth. I'm going to tell her you said that. I know that would encourage her. And when I saw her next, I said, Mary, I want to tell you what Seth said. He said, you were so calm and you're doing so good with the kids. She said, well, Mom, you got calm and I wanted to get calm. Yeah. Parenting is powerful. Personal growth is what makes you a good parent. You've got to do your personal work. Mm-hmm. So it's just...
All right, a couple spontaneous questions. I tried to give her as much heads up as possible, but... How do you change the culture of your home when it's not where you want it to be?
Oh, Jesus, help me. Seriously, there's the answer. That's all I got for you. There's some things you cannot control, and you just have to have grace. You have to change to be able to be calm in the midst of it. It's not right, I don't think, for us to be crazy just because the culture in the home is crazy. Somebody has to be the calm in the storm. It's the old saying that if mama's happy, everybody's happy. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Christ has to do the work in us for us to be able to do a work in the home. But you've got to have faith and believe that it is possible and it is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be a part of this victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just have to be determined and you have to pray, because it is not in my strength that it happens. It's only by the grace of God.
I think there's, for homes that have a mother and a father, I think there is just a different influence that each of them have. And the mother plays such a critical role and carries so much of that influence, and you can maybe say has a controlling impact on the nature and the culture of the home, which perhaps is why it's so important for the mother to become what she needs to become, so that she can then produce in her home what needs to be produced. What do you do? What about, we have expectations for our kids, and I've learned, even with my own, that they're very different. And when your kids become something you don't want them to become, or how have you learned to love children for who they are and recognize maybe you can't be God or control the outcome of what they're going to become?
Well, it's true. You can't control people. You can't control your kids. You can manage them. And we've had some spankings in our house before. So sometimes I do believe the scripture, that the rod is a scriptural thing. I don't think it should be used in an unwise, unkind way. But foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child.
Right.
And the foolishness, I think, is one of our roles, that you have to get foolishness out of the heart of a child. Yeah. The earlier you start, the better it is.
Yeah.
The easier it is. But there is an element of grace and mercy. The scripture says that by truth and love, iniquity is purged. Sin does not leave by you telling the truth. The truth is a sword and it will kill. The truth has to be bound up with love for it to be effective. And the things I've learned with our family, Ethan, and I can't speak for everyone, this is just my story, is that if you don't have a relationship, how are you going to love them? How are they going to know that you love them in a visible way? So many times, my personality is very black and white. I just say, well, cut them off. That doesn't work. Truth and love together will help them know you love them and will perhaps give you the opportunity to speak the truth into their lives. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, I think you can't control the personality or the way or the thing or the calling or the assignment or the vocation or the whatever of your children. And I think the reality for probably most of us in the room is that our children are or will become something or go down a road or a path maybe that we don't like or agree with. And, you know, what do you do with that? So let's transition a little bit to now you've 9 grandchildren, is what you said?
Yes.
So 9 grandchildren, and now you are an empty nester. Mm-hmm. And so I know, I have so many conversations with people in our church who are navigating adult children and that whole reality. But so what would you say, first of all, to those who are maybe perhaps an older mom or a mom that might be an empty nester and feels like she just failed and got it wrong?
You're in good company. So have everyone else feels the same way. And sometimes the failure is that we would view as a failure is really heartbreaking, and we want to fix it. We don't like for us to look embarrassed. Okay, just go ahead and say that to yourself. Part of this is me not wanting to look embarrassed. Get over it. This is not about you. This is about your child. When you fail, Nathan and I were talking about this morning. When your kids are young, you're surviving. You are doing everything you can do to do the very best that you can do, and you are not going to get it right. Just go ahead and tell yourself that. I'm doing the best I can do, and it will not be perfect. And there may be things my kids hate my guts about that I wish you had taught us this, and we didn't. But you have to love them where they are And especially when we become an empty nester and your kids are now adults, did you know you're not their parent anymore? Some of y'all think y'all still their parent. Y'all not there. Did y'all know that y'all not their parent anymore? When they become adults, God becomes their parent. You are their trusted advisor. What we do is we think we can still keep parenting and they're adults. It doesn't work. My husband and I went through some of the hardest times of our lives when our kids all moved out of the house because we thought we could still parent them. You cannot. They're leave and they cleave, and they're not leaving you. They're leaving you and they're not cleaving to you. They're leaving you and cleaving to whomever that is that God's put in their life. And you have to get your nose out of their business. Ooh, this is strong, but needs to be said. Mm-mm. Well, Mike and I learned that respect for your adult kids is the way they love, that you will keep them loving you. If you keep telling them you should be doing this, that's not right. Why'd you do that like that? Mama didn't do like that. That does not make them love you more.
Yeah.
That makes them want to get out of your space because it's disrespectful. So have a new thought. I don't want to be disrespectful to my adult kids. I want them to love me. I want them to honor me. They will honor you when you honor them because they're adults now. And this was the illustration that really kind of killed me when I learned this because it was so powerful. Here's your adult child. Here are you, the parent. God now comes in and he becomes the parent. He does what you couldn't do. Mm-hmm. Did you do it right? Mm-mm. We did not do it right. We didn't get it right. But God knows how to do it a lot better than we do. So now, as adults, God is their parent. And what I have learned, and my daughter has helped me with this a lot, is if I really want to say something, I ask permission. You know, I've been thinking about something. Would you mind if I share it with you? Mom, I just can't do it right now. No. All right. That's fine. And I'm gracious. But if they say, yes, you can tell me something, then they just told me I can tell them something. And I get the privilege
to do that. The door is open. The door is open.
The door is open. But if you talk through a closed door, you didn't get anywhere. So let God be the parent. You be the prayer person and the person who they ask, Mom, what did you do about this? I don't know what to do now. Ah, now you get to be that trusted advisor.
I want to go here as well. There, we're in the book of Exodus right now as a church and kind of walking through that story. And I didn't make a huge emphasis on this, but when Pharaoh wants to kill all of the sons, all of the male children, there's a hiding that takes place with Moses. And then Moses' mother has to put him in a basket and release him to the river. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about the process that I'm sure starts younger, but then what it is spiritually to release your child into the river, whatever that might look like?
There have been many times, even when my kids are young, where I was at such a point that I did not know what to do next. I had literally done everything I knew to do as a mother. And I remember laying on the living room floor one night at midnight. The TV was on. Nobody was up but me. And I was laying prostrate, spread eagle, said, God, is that the same thing, prostrate and spread eagle? I think it's the same thing. I don't know. But I mean, I was serious. I was crying. I was by myself. I said, God, I've done it all. I do not know what to do. What do I do? I don't know what. And Charles Stanley came on and he said, Matthew 11:28, put my yoke upon you. My burden's easy. My burden's light. It's not about you. This is about you relying on me because you don't know what to do. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. Let God strengthen you. And it is literally like emotionally, you have to open your hand and say, God, I'm giving her to you one more time. I'm giving him to you. This is not about me. I don't know what to do. I release them to you.
Yeah. So one final thing. If God gave you a wand and you could just wave it over the room and it's a spiritual wand and something could be true in the hearts and minds and lives of mothers, What would be your kind of final encouragement or final hope, final wish for the moms in the room?
Help your kids to know that you love them, that you accept them as they are right now. They don't have to be perfect for you to love them. I love you. I love you because they're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. They're not ever going to be perfect. But I love you.
Amen. 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 Well, would you pray over us, and would you pray over these mothers in the room, and just let's ask for the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God and the favor of God just to fall on each of us and each of these homes, and ask for God's strength in our lives.
God, today we love you so much, and it is because of you, Lord, that we can rise up and be parents and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers. Lord, we need your strength today. I pray that your Spirit would penetrate the hearts of each of these mothers and ladies and men and kids, that they would hunger and thirst for you. And Lord, we don't have to make anybody happy but you. And Lord, that help that to be our focus, that you would just strengthen us, give us the will to every time we fall to get up and to love you supremely in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mom, love you, honor you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Would you honor Mom with me?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Ethan.